Hello!
Welcome back
to the On-Call Room,
Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm your host, Abby.
And I'm your other host. I'm not a co-host. I'm your other host.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
I'm kidding. I'm Brie.
We are a great... Hey, Brie. Hi, Brie. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast, and we are going through...
You sounded to me like
AA?
No, like, Bing Bong. I don't know why.
Wait, Bing Bong, like the imaginary friend guy? Oh, God, I can't... Hi, Brie. Take her on vacation, whatever he says.
Take her on vacation.
I don't know what he says.
Take her to the moon or whatever.
Take her to the...
Take her on vacation.
Take her to the moon.
I need a vacation.
We're going on one in May. Listeners, if you didn't know, Brie and I are going to Cabo. Wait, are we going? Yeah, it's Cabo. I'm like, wait, is that where it is? Or have I just been saying that? Anyways... Actually, when this
airs, just not how I anticipated this going.
Okay, so we are going through episode by episode. Let me do this. Let me have this moment.
Okay, just give me a second.
Okay.
Hi, Brie.
Okay. We are a Grey's podcast going through episode by episode, and we are on the motherfucking finale of season 5. Oh no! I will pause while the special effects come out. Here we go. They're still waiting. We are on season 5 finale, and oh my god, excellent. Okay,
you're welcome.
Yeah. So, first of all, if you want to get more, if this isn't enough, one episode a week, you can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can be an intern, attending, or a resident. Maybe not in that order. I forget which order it goes.
Intern, resident, attending.
Yeah, and you can co-host. You can be a part of our Facebook group. You can get bonus episodes. It's a blast. Where else can they find us, Brie?
You can find us on Instagram at The On Call Room Pod. There you can see photos, maybe videos, stories, things. Yeah. You can chat with us. A lot of people respond, and we, either Abby or I, will respond back to you. And
Yeah, it's great. So,
oh my God, I wanted to tell everyone
that
I reached 500 followers.
No!
Yeah! Wait,
this is perfect.
Yeah, so this is a really big deal. Let me just...
I'm looking to make sure you're not lying.
507.
Wow, if you guys are a part of that...
Thank you so much.
Brie, you did it.
I know, it feels really good.
Weren't you at like 300 something when we like...
Or like 400.
Our goal was weren't you at like 100?
Weren't you at like 50 followers?
I'm proud of
you. Yeah, our goal was by Christmas. And so it's only April. It's April now.
It's April. Oh, April Fools, motherfuckers.
Yeah, just kidding. I don't have 500 followers.
I wish George dying was an April Fool's joke.
It wasn't.
I know.
It was as real as television gets.
This is our last episode of George O'Malley.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Not great.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing? That doesn't make sense, but I want you to...
I am doing one scalpel.
One scalpel.
I just really love George, and I'm not ready, but it's fine. I took 8 pages of notes, so I have a lot to say.
So it's okay. You know what's going to make me laugh is when you really don't have that much to say about George. You're just like, I just love him. That's like your note on it.
He just looks so handsome in his war uniform. War. I keep saying that. His army uniform.
His war uniform.
Oh, I've been watching
too much Game of Thrones.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
They just go to war. That's all they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not okay with it. I'm also like not okay that he like hasn't done a lot with his career after this.
Yeah, what has he done, if anything?
I feel like this is not the episode. We're not gonna take the time to go into like all the drama that I'm pretty sure was his leaving the show.
Yeah, no more drama, Mary J. Blige.
But in a quick summary, what I've gathered is that as we've all know, like, there were the things that said that the guy who played Burke, Isaiah?
I almost said Preston.
Isaiah Washington. Made some homophobic comments, which then caused T.R. Knight to come out Like within the cast.
This is center stage.
I guess in a way that he didn't plan on.
Like, that sucks so bad.
Oh, yeah, it super sucks. And then there was some interviews with Shonda that claimed that like he was upset at how his character was being written. Mm-hmm. But then she also made a really great comment that was like his personal sexuality has like a gay man can play a straight man, you know, just like it's not,
right.
It doesn't mean that. And so I don't know. I think it was a mix of George feeling or T.R. Washington, T.R.
Knight.
Fuck. I'm
Preston Burke.
Educated here. Feeling like his character wasn't going anywhere, but she made a really brilliant comment that George was supposed to become sort of like, you don't realize if you didn't see him for a while, because that's the only way this finale would have worked.
Yes.
If George had been a super prominent character, like right away, you would have been like, where's George? That's George.
Right.
And I mean, I remember watching this. Now you can see all of the like the little like hints that that's George who got hit by a bus. But when you first watch it, I did not know.
No, I don't think I don't think anyone knew.
I went back and was reading. This was 2009 that this happened. And I was reading a lot of articles from like people who review shows, like the day it aired. And there were some people who did be like, I noticed as soon as whatever happened, but I didn't. I was very oblivious.
I don't think I remembered either.
And I also wasn't paying attention.
What? No, I probably did because I didn't watch it. And then I saw your profile picture.
Oh.
So, oh my God. I almost just knocked a whole glass of wine over. If it's not podcasting night if Abby or I do not knock over a glass of wine.
I think though, like if I'd been paying attention to like headlines about characters, like we all knew Derek was gonna die because we knew he was leaving the show.
Right.
But I did not know. I wasn't like into pop culture as much as I am now. There was no Instagram.
So you didn't know that he was leaving.
So I didn't know. So it was really rough.
Right. Did you think that Izzy died?
Well, yeah, I was telling Bree while texting this that I, well, texting her about this, that I had no idea that it ended not knowing.
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to look when I made him my profile picture.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I'll look.
On a break or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, basically, Bree and I have a lot to say about this finale, so we're probably just going to get into it.
Yeah.
Listeners, is that okay? Clap once if it is. Clap twice if it's not. Oh, well, there's only a few of you that clapped twice, so we're just going to keep on going with that.
Full steam ahead!
Yeah. So let us let us do our rounds.
Ooh.
And, or do we do the monologue first? This is our first time doing this.
Let's
do our rounds, and then we'll do the monologue.
Sounds good. So, short summary of the first episode. And we're just going to combine both of these.
Yep.
But Izzy spends some time with a fellow cancer patient while contemplating whether or not to undergo a risky surgery. As Mark is ready to take his relationship with Lexi to the next level, and a patient makes Owen reassess his place at Seattle Grace.
And in the episode Now or Never, George delivers stunning news to Bailey, sending shockwaves throughout the hospital, and Izzy's friends anxiously await her recovery from surgery. Meanwhile, Bailey is surprisingly displeased after being accepted into the pediatric fellowship program, and the victim of a near-fatal traffic accident brings the talents of Seattle Grace's doctors together.
Great.
Bum, bum. Do, 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 do. We're going to read the monologue now.
So here's to future days. When something begins, you generally have no idea how it's going to end. The house you're going to sell becomes your home, the roommates you were forced to take in become your family, and the one-night stand you were determined to forget becomes the love of your life. We spend our whole lives worrying about the future, planning for the future, trying to predict the future, as if figuring it out will somehow cushion the blow. But the future is always changing. The future is the home of our deepest fears and wildest hopes. But one thing is certain. When it finally reveals itself, the future is never the way we imagined it. Meredith Grey.
And the second one, which was my AOL away, or like my profile.
Yeah.
It was actually my Facebook profile for a while. Like, I love this so much. I'm going to not do justice to it. Doctors spend a lot of time focused on the future, planning it, working toward it. This part wasn't. It was later that it was in it. But at some point, you start to realize your life is happening now. Not after med school, not after residency, right now. This is it. It's here. Blink and you'll miss it. Did you say it? I love you. I don't ever want to live without you. You changed my life. Did you say it? Make a plan, set a goal, work toward it, but every now and then look around. Drink it in, because this is it. It might all be gone tomorrow. Dude, that fucked. This episode, I think, was maybe the most like hit me hard episode of any television show.
Abby, at that
like age, yes.
I love you.
Thank you.
What? I don't get anything back.
I'm gonna hug you now.
Can't believe you don't even say it back.
I was doing the Christina thing.
Oh, you were? Oh, I thought you were just telling me thank you.
I was, but then I don't know. Like, this just really
it's
was
hard. Fun. Yeah. This, okay. Where do we want to? Oh, should we do first notes?
Yeah. Mine is one night stands could be your future.
Yeah.
like she had a one night stand with Derek. And
that
then
is true.
It's her future.
Ooh, that's kind of scary to think about some of the one night stands I've had that they could have been my future. okay. My first note was that is Paris from Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. She's also in How to Get Away with Murder. She's one of the main characters.
Oh, she is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I knew she was from Gilmore, and I knew you were going to say that, but I didn't know her name.
Oh, yep, Paris.
I wrote Allison looks familiar.
Yeah. Who's
then
that?
Then I realized it. I also wrote that Derek needs to have sex all night in order to solve brain cancer. Because, like, they have sex all night long, and then he's like, I know what I'm going to do. And the day before, he was like, there's nothing I can do.
It got his juices flowing. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe doctors, if you haven't cured cancer yet, you should start having sex all night long.
All night long.
Because they're like, do it again?
Who wants to have sex all night long? Who can do? I would be so tired.
I wonder, though, like, if it's Derek Shepherd. And I'm not saying Patrick Dempsey. I'm talking, like, the character Derek Shepherd.
Like, you would want to?
Yeah, like, who knows?
I think you're probably right.
Right?
Yeah. Like, tumbling around on that floor. You know what's cute about that, too?
They did that the morning.
Their first, time they made love.
Made love.
Had sex. Fucked. I don't know.
Okay, who do we want to talk about first?
The robot.
Okay. Fuck the robot. I don't understand.
I love how you didn't even miss a beat. You were like, okay, yeah, let's talk about this robot.
No, I did love Chief being like, I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't like that. See, and then she was like, Santa. I don't like it.
I liked Chief saying it. I didn't like Bailey like turning into a small horny child and saying
for
it.
For Santa?
Yeah, it was weird. But it's called the Da Vinci SIA surgical system.
Yeah. And I wrote, robot is terrifying.
I wrote, just so you know, I'm not lying, with an arrow, I don't care about it.
I don't care.
And I remember I wrote that note later. Like, I wrote what it was, and then it kept going, and I was, I don't care.
Move along. Move along from the robot.
I was having Phyllis up. Weren't you? You had a little party by yourself yesterday, too.
Yeah.
So did I.
I ended up drinking some wine and
Yeah. So
as one does after watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I was inspired by you. So
yeah.
Okay. What else with the show?
I don't care.
I literally don't. I'm trying to see if I wrote anything in my 18 pages about the robot.
I just wrote that it's terrifying.
Does it come back in next season? Like, is it a main role? Supporting actor, or does it
you should we should Do have put that add? As in for GGB awards.
God, Da Vinci.
Yeah, no, I don't think it comes back.
Well, basically, let's just talk about Bailey.
Okay,
which is really sad. So Bailey gets offered the pediatric
fellowship
by Arizona in front of Chief, who is now on board with her doing that, and she like gets silent, shuts up, and walks away.
Yeah.
There's no reaction, and Arizona, like she does, like follows her around everywhere.
Well, she's like, we're going to get you a pair of wheelie tennis shoes or whatever.
Yeah, and Bailey just ignores it, like doesn't pay attention, and then Chief shows her this thing, this machine. And then first, before we find out, doesn't Bailey ask Chief if she can have if the general surgery spot is still available?
Like, I think she does after all of this. Okay. Yeah. I think so. Right. And then Chief is like, why? No.
Right.
And then Arizona like pushes Bailey and is like, I fought for you. Like, this is a big fucking deal.
Right.
And then, or no, this isn't. like, this isn't a hard decision, is what she says pretty much. And Bailey is like, if I take this job, my husband is going to divorce me. It is a big deal.
And she tells that to, oh, does she tell it to Arizona?
She tells that to Arizona first.
Yep. And then I feel like the best scene, Bailey and Chief's friendship is always something that I really like in this show. It's like some of my favorite parts. And they're both like in the like scrub room, I'm pretty sure. And Bailey says, tells Chief she was offered an ultimatum. And then in that statement, she says she's going to be a single mom.
Right.
And the hours for general surgery like make more sense.
Yeah. Than starting a whole new.
Right. And she has this
specialty.
Right. And she has this breakdown. Why do I have this line? If you're not scared,
yes,
you're not paying
attention. Yeah. So I cried at that part.
Same,
so poor Bailey. So yeah. She's talking to Chief, and then she pretty much says, like, I'm going to divorce him regardless.
And then Chief
is like, well, you know, like, he might just, like, are you sure you don't want to give him time? Like, he might just be scared. And Bailey responds, we're all scared. If you're not scared, you're not paying attention. He's just weak, is what she said.
Yes, I knew there was an ending to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that, too, because, I mean, she's, like, currently, like, her one of her, in not an intern anymore, but, like, Izzy is dying. Like,
yeah.
All these things she's witnessed, like, everyone is scared. Like that. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. Like she's saying to him, like, it's not an excuse.
Like, yeah. And like, also, this isn't that big of a deal compared to other shit that's going on in people's lives right now.
Yes. And then Chief's like, all right, I'll leave you. And she's like, no. And then he just says, I'll just stay here with you. Mm-hmm. And they like are just looking at each other. He's not like touching her. They're not doing anything. He's just like holding space for her. And it's fucking beautiful.
And Chief has done that for Bailey many times. And this is just another great example of him. And I know that feeling. Sometimes you don't want to be touched. You don't.
Right.
But you, like, actually need the energy of someone by you.
Right.
Like, in the same physical space as you. And I love that.
I would say it's, like, one of my favorite scenes with the two of them. I'm sure there's a lot more where they get, like, emotional. But she opens up to him. He's, like, a safe space.
Yes.
And we don't know where she's going at the end of this. Like, we
no.
Like, that's the last thing that they talk about that.
I want to, since this is a part of the storyline, I kind of want to touch on, I love that Arizona gets mad at Chief about, like, bringing the robot and, like, trying to entice Bailey with this robot. And I love that Arizona cries when she gets mad.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so great because I totally get that. And then she also cries when she gets mad at people of authority.
When she doesn't want, just crying when she doesn't want to. And she says, it's a problem with authority.
Yeah.
My dad. Like, she brings it up.
And she, like, tells him, like, I'm about to cry right now. And I think that's great.
Because I do that too. When I'm really mad or feel attacked, like, that's my instinct.
Yeah.
And then it makes you look weak, even though.
Right,
like,
but it's not. But you're not.
You have no choice over whether or not it's happening.
Yeah, it's just your emotional response to it.
Yep.
Like, some people yell, some people cry when they're angry.
Exactly.
Some people do both.
Cry, yell. Cry.
Yeah! That was a cry. Yeah.
Just to note, at the end of the first part of this finale, before Bailey. Like, she brings Callie and who else down to the Joy of Peds?
It's Callie and the cancer doctor.
Yes, yes.
Fuck, what's her name?
I know. We need to look it up. But, yeah, she brings her down to, like, a kid who's getting a good, he looks, like, alive and well, and his parents are hugging, and she's like, there is joy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, she says something amazing.
Comes around, like rarely.
Yeah.
Or rarely comes around or something.
Yep, and I just really love that.
But this is why we do this job, because Callie had just hacked off a leg, a healthy leg.
And then Allison, who will
Allison,
talk about.
Her miracle patient, was on life support.
Yep. Yep.
So, what are you?
Should we talk about Lexi and Mark?
Sure. Yeah.
So do you think when Mark first invites Lexi to live with him and she doesn't understand, do you think she does understand and she's deflecting?
Okay,
or do you think she doesn't understand?
I think it's really ridiculous if she doesn't understand. Dr. Swender. I'm sorry.
Dr. Swender, thank you.
I think it's really ridiculous if she doesn't understand that. It's very obvious that he is asking her to come.
Right.
She's
smart.
Yeah. Like, if I was, like, talking to you as my partner, and I looked at you and I was like, I bet this married couple doesn't want us in their home anymore.
Right,
I'm thinking about getting a place and I want you to come with. I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'll come look at that with you. That just...
Yeah, it's weird. I think...
So what do you think?
I actually think in that moment, they're made us to think that she doesn't understand.
No, I think that's
But I think it's weird writing.
Yeah, I think that's what the writing is trying to do, but I'm like, that's really dumb.
I do love the... Or not love. It's terrifying to me when he's like, one more year, and she's like, 10. Like, yeah. Lexi is the kind of person that wants her life to be in perfect order before, and that's just not how life is.
No, you gotta, like...
And also, I get so pissed at her because this is, like, the start of their, like, not crumbling, but, like, mm-hmm. like problems. And, it's just a dumb...
Well, and I don't understand why she wants to get, like, her practice in order before she...
Why?
He's not even asking to marry her.
No, but just then to he move does. In, yeah.
But just to move in together.
Right.
It's like, whatever. Who cares? And you know the worst thing that happens if you move in with someone and it doesn't work out is you move out.
Exactly. Although no. I feel like there is a little bit of pressure with moving in because I feel like you can't take a step backward from that.
No, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to have your practice up and running in order to move in with
Not
each
at all.
Other.
No. I do think, though, it's kind of funny how, like, then Mark, like, basically accidentally walks into, like, sort
talking
of
talking about marriage. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, are you proposing? And
he's like, no, unless you, I don't know. It's just like, it's very awkward. It's not good.
No, and it's sad because I just know where it's all.
Well, and Mark, like, you can see, like, that he really wants, he's like maturing and he wants to settle down and he wants a family. And, you know, Derek is happy with Meredith and, you know.
I guess it is important to remember that Lexi is younger than most people in her job position because she finished school faster.
And also she's still an intern.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty young. And Mark is an attending.
Right. And like... Age-wise, I want to look it up, but I think there's like that matters, but a decent gap.
Yeah.
As far as like life experience goes.
Right. What do we think? Do we think Mark's in his 40s or is 30 late? He has to be at least late 30s.
Mark Sloan is, where would they say his age? Would they say his year? Is he real?
He's not.
Not Eric Dane. Mark Sloan was born in 1968. Meanwhile, Lexi Gray was born in 1984.
Whoa. So
yeah.
1984 minus
16 years.
16 years. That's quite a difference.
Yeah, that's a big age difference. So I guess I guess that's why her hesitation, like I understand it, but I don't know. I feel like it could have gone multiple ways there.
Yeah. Wow, I'm really happy we put a number to that. 16 years. Because how many years apart are you and Jake? Two?
Not even. We're a year. We're like 8 months apart only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
moving along.
I don't think I have. Oh wait, who does Mark say you're allowed to get married? Oh, to Derek. Sorry, that's about Derek and Mary. But I write a note that Mark says to Derek at some point, "You're allowed to get married. You deserve that."
Oh,
and I thought that was a really sweet moment between the two of them because so often, like with their fighting and their past and everything, I do think like.
Right.
It's just a good... Well, it's kind of like his best man speech, actually. Because Derek tells Mark that they're going to do it today. And then, like, he kind of, like, puffs up. He's like, oh, okay. And, like, says that. Which I feel like that is more meaningful than any other speech. Also, with Lexi, Mark is talking to Callie. Or I think, who is it? Then realizes that, like, he sort of has the feminine stance of mm-hmm. this, like, wanting to start a life together and move in. And he says to Lexi, I'm a better woman than you at some point towards the end. And I just love that so much.
Yes. Can we talk about, I mean, we'll get into the Izzy thing because I feel like that's a pretty big storyline. Yeah. And should we talk about Owen and Christina maybe?
Yeah.
Or maybe Mare and Dare. What do you think?
Should we just go through, like, kind of in order this time, maybe, for
sure.
once? Because everything sort of blends in together?
Yeah. Okay. So it starts out, and I forgot that this, like, and I don't forget much about Grey's Anatomy, but I couldn't remember what the fuck these next two episodes were about.
Right.
And I forgot that it was that Derek wanted to do a surgery and take Izzy's hippocampus out.
Yes.
Like, I completely forgot about this. And then I started remembering, like, oh shit, like, this happens. And then the thing with the sticky notes at the end and stuff with her and Alex. So that, like, kind of blew my mind for a second. I was like, oh, and then... That's pretty much what this whole first episode is about, and people trying to tell her deciding whether or not she wants to do it.
Right.
So can we talk about that a little
yes.
bit?
So basically, Izzy has to choose between whether or not to risk losing her memory. So
right.
this IL-2, is that what they're called? Treatments, like,
yeah.
have worked in some this one patient, and it's possible that it'll shrink her Mets without surgery.
Yes.
It's very scary when they do the result, like the thing, just like see what it would be like
yeah.
if you mess up. And it's that dog playing house. And then when she can't, like, clearly when she comes out of that, she doesn't remember it
yes.
happening, which thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Because that's so scary.
I wrote, that was my note. God, that's so scary when they put her brain to sleep, that part of her brain.
Yeah.
She doesn't know anything.
No, she doesn't remember who anyone is. She can't talk.
Yeah.
And I love the, like, dramatic of, like, Meredith afterwards saying, you are not having the surgery.
Like, yeah.
When,
like,
the door
shuts the door.
And clearly also, like, I mean, Meredith, and she brings it up in here that, like, her, you know, her experience with her mother with Alzheimer's, like, has shown her that that is the worst. Like,
it's the worst way of
yourself
living. Yeah.
is not worth living, basically.
Yeah.
So that influences her decision. I did like that Derek brought up the point that, like, that's the worst possible outcome. Like,
right.
that's not an exact result, which it would be very frustrating, I think, to be a surgeon that felt capable. You could not have that happen, but have your patient see the worst possible outcome. And, like,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So Meredith asked, or Izzy asked for Meredith's opinion. She asks for Allison's opinion.
She asks for...
Karev doesn't give it I think right
she
away.
Asks, like, Derek... She asks everyone, and Alex will not give his opinion. And I was like, he is not being very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, yeah, at first he's like, I'm just here to... Like, my job as husband is to support your decision, not to make your decision.
Right. And he's, like, also not really around very much. Like, she's trying to have a conversation with him, and every time she does, he's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to Derek, or I'm going to go do this. And then he fucking makes up his mind.
Well, he goes and talks to Derek. Well,
right.
Derek is talking to Izzy. It's, like, happening at the same time.
Right. But, oh, God, I got so irritated with Karev when he comes in and I was like, I'm your fucking husband.
Yeah.
And I know, like, emotions are very tense right now. And, like, I know that that Karev doesn't actually mean it in that way. But I'm like...
he might.
But it's so frustrating that, like, you didn't have a fucking opinion this whole time. And then when I decide against
right.
this surgery...
Yeah.
You come in here running in and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he had that line. He said it's just, after talking to Derek, he said it's not just your life at stake anymore, which I get that. And also, this is where we see a load of, like, Karev is jaded by what has happened to, well, it's actually weird. I guess that happens in the next one when she comes out. About, he talks about, like, I don't want to take care of you,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting that he also, like, flip-flops. Like, in this one, yeah, he wants her to have the surgery, and then after, and it didn't go... Well, at first, he's like, he has another terrible reaction.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's great.
He's really showing that he is not great under pressure.
Correct. And I also don't think that maybe, like, getting married without thinking about it was maybe, like, this is
yeah, even
like
though
a
we,
lot of, like...
Even though we rated that episode the highest, and it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
a
yeah.
lovely story.
Yeah.
But truly, probably, and we know how this story goes, they don't end up together.
Right.
Probably not the best thing to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And I also think it's in this, like, power trip when after... So, like, remember that scene when Derek is yelling at Christina?
Yeah.
And then Meredith comes in and says, it was me. I do love Christina walks out. She goes, unless you want to apologize.
And yeah.
Like, oh, nope. Okay, bye. And, like, leaves. But Meredith brings up Ellis and, like, her reason for convincing Izzy. But I hated fucking Derek and his power trip. He goes, as my resident, you go back and convince her. Like, he orders her, like, as her boss.
That would be so hard to be in a relationship and have that dynamic.
I don't even know how you would.
Like, yeah. I would be so pissed. I'd be like, don't fucking call me your resident. I'm about to be your goddamn wife.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No way, Jose.
Yeah. Because you're supposed to be equal and balanced in a marriage, but then you're not in your workplace.
Yeah.
Mm, that's why people don't work together who
exactly.
are.
Anyway. Allison tells her Karev will come. Oh, Allison's advice to Izzy is also that do what you want to do, because if it works, he'll come back to you. Like, Karev might be pissed at you and say that he won't, but, like, if you're alive and your Mets are shrunk, he's going to come back. So she's saying, like, the Karev thing is not a risk for you. And then she dies.
Well, yeah, and then she starts
like
coding.
Like, immediately after
which
that.
Is so sad.
It's
you know,
fucking
and it affects Dr. Swender. She's like, shit, maybe this doesn't, maybe you should cut. I don't know. She's
I didn't mean to keep going.
No.
Who's she talking to? Is it Christina?
No, Callie, I think.
Oh, yeah. When she's like, there is no cure to cancer. It's just the two of us in front of here with methods.
I think that is Christina.
I thought that was really interesting that she's like, oh, because I think Christina's like, well, it didn't work. And she's like, there is no cure. It's
right.
just us doing what we do best.
The best
we can. Yeah.
So then Izzy finally asks George what to do.
So I wrote, this is George and Izzy's last scene together.
In alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because after this, like, Izzy never hears from George that he's going to go into mm-hmm. the war like that. They never have an interaction. So this is, I was very like, okay, is this it? And it is. And he says, he's basically telling her, like, you already made your decision. Like, and he says, you made it when you decided to fight this thing. You're a doer, remember? You know exactly what you have to do.
And so that, to him and to her, is surgery.
Do you think, though, to me, I think George is saying it as, like, he doesn't know what she's saying it is, but it reinforces that whatever decision she makes is the right one.
Yeah, because I thought, I didn't know how to take that. And I was like, I don't feel like George would necessarily tell her, like, get the surgery or whatever. I think you're right. Like, you already know what to do. Like, it's in your head what you want to do.
Right.
So do it.
And that's why I think it's the best advice, because it's empowering her to make her own choice. And by telling her that, like, that's the decision you've already, like, you've wanted to do from the beginning. So whether or not that, like, who knows what that actually is. I just love that he gives her the space to, and then she puts her head on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
I'm
not well.
So Izzy, what I love though is so like Izzy decides to have this surgery, but not without her own terms, which is signing a DNR. And so I think that's really brilliant writing too, that it's not just like either she's going to do the IL-2 or she's going to get this surgery. She's like, fine, I'll do your fucking surgery, but I am not going to be...
A vegetable.
Yeah, I'm not going to be on life support.
Would be her phrase.
Yes, and I like that because I also feel like that's very true to Izzy's character.
Yes.
And I feel like it's also pretty true to, like, a lot of doctors' character, you know?
100%. Also, yeah, she says, don't cut LVADs, just let me go. So I think it's when they are rolling into the surgery. I think it has to be, yeah. Alex is like, says to her, you don't get to quit on me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to look this up, but I feel like he says that to her, spoiler alert, in the season when Izzy leaves and they're having their talk in the locker rooms. I feel like he says, like, you don't get to quit on me. Like, you can't just walk. Like, I feel like it's the same. I'm going to pay attention for when that happens, because I really feel like he says that later on. You don't get to quit on me. And spoiler alert, she does.
I wrote, Karev is so upset. I feel like everything is going so fast in this episode that, like, Karev doesn't even have any time to process. Like, this is not a good marriage. Like,
no.
Doesn't have any time to process that his wife signed a DNR. Like, he understands what that means. And also, she was gonna go into surgery without fucking telling him that.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a communication block there. And I feel really bad for him, but I really appreciate Izzy's speech to him.
Yeah.
Because, and then I wrote, I'm feeling so many emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know how to feel, but she pretty much was like, I know that I also love that she brings up, he's like, you freaked out. Like, you cut LVAD wires when Denny signed a DNR. And she's like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. And now that I'm here, like, I know whatever's on the other side is better than
Yeah, it this. Also makes me, like, happy for her that she has peace about Denny's decision.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it's kind of her fault. But, like, you know, like, that he didn't have, that he also had a DNR. It just, it, like, closes it all up.
Yeah. And, like, don't cut LVAD wires. Just let me go.
Yeah. Fuck.
No.
Who says, I don't want you to die?
I have that, too.
Wait, Christina?
Oh, I think Meredith says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Meredith. Okay. Meredith thought she would get Alzheimer's. This is her first mention of it.
Oh!
What?
I know what it is.
What is it?
That's when she tells Derek she wants to get married. Like, I don't want to wait. I don't want you to die. Like, let's go get married.
Yeah. Well, and then and at the same time, so that's happening. And then Christina is talking to Owen and
no, that's who says it. Christina says, I don't want you to
that's
die.
That's what it is. Yeah. And then Christina says, I also, fucking, this is how, a big spoiler. Christina goes, who knows? She's like, you could get hit by a car or get a mole on your back. George and Izzy. Like, she fucking quotes exactly what's going to happen to her two friends or what already has happened to one. But yeah, that's on purpose.
Yeah.
You could get hit by a car or get a mole on your back. I don't want you to die. Ugh.
And so then, we forgot, this is important, that we didn't touch on this, that Owen tells Christina that he's leaving. He's, like, re-enlisting or whatever.
Yeah, and she's like...
But I also thought he was, like, honorably discharged, so, like, is he allowed to do that?
I don't know. But just a little quick shout-out that the person that convinces George to join the army and Owen... to want to reenlist is motherfucking Matt Saracen from Friday Night Lights. Don't know what his real name is. That's the name in Friday Night Lights. I wrote my one and true love.
Yeah.
I love him so much. He's my favorite character on that show. But I just made some little notes here about him. So war guy, don't know his name in this, is the reason George war. Leaves. And these are the reasons that war guy says Jesus. Why he like wants to go back, and he says his brothers don't get him. He's alone, and he's tried fitting in here and can't.
George.
It's George in a nutshell. Like, in a different life, different story, it's George. And I'm pissed at him for making George do that.
Well, yeah, and George, like, listens to him, and you can see something shift in him. Like, oh, I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, fuck. Also good to note before we keep going to that, Izzy keeps having these visions that she's like on her honeymoon. She's at a beach with
Denny. She's on a beach with Denny.
And I don't know what Denny's wearing.
Not great.
No. And she's talking to herself a lot. And like, even when she's looking at Alex, she sees like beaches and birds and her hallucinations have
escalated.
Right. So what I kind of imagine is what we see in those moments when she's on a beach is what she's seeing like all of the time.
Yeah. Like, fucking weird shit. Yeah. Like, she's not in her of right mind.
Correct. Yeah. So,
that would suck. Like, what is reality?
No wonder you'd want to have the surgery. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, Owen thinks his work isn't done and he's going back. Okay. Yeah.
So instead, he goes to see his mama.
Uh huh.
And he asks Christina to come with. And I love that.
It's cute. And she does. And is this the mom? She comes back later in Grey's, right? It's the same actress.
Yeah,
right?
it is.
That's what I thought.
But they do that like fucking psych you out thing where they're like, nice to see you.
Yeah.
And then you think it's like there's George. A knock on the door, but it's really George is signing up for the army and right. Owen's saying hi to his mom. And it's quite a thing.
It's so good. Because, yeah, you don't know if Christina gave in and is going with Owen to go re-enlist.
Yeah.
It frames either way. I wrote, no, George, no.
Yeah.
Like when it just kills me. Welcome to the army, George, is what like the last fucking line is.
But I did write like, does it happen that quickly? Like that you're like, I would like to join the army. And they're welcome. Is that how quick
it happened? I have no idea.
I don't either.
Maybe it's different for doctors.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know.
I don't think so. There's got to be some sort of interview process.
Yeah, something has to happen.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
welcome to the army, sir.
Welcome to war, sir. It's what Abby likes to call.
Welcome to the war. I just hate it. I hate it. I'm going to just lament.
I love George imitating Bailey. Like, what did you do?
Well, first, George and O'Malley hug, which is suspicious.
Yeah. Everyone's hugging in this episode, which is super suspicious. And then I love that George is like, I love that George tells Bailey first.
It's like his...
It's like his mama.
Yeah.
You know?
You did what?
Yeah. What did you do? And then they're going to have an intervention.
And he's the only one. So also, we'll talk about this in notes and trivia, but like, that's the last time we see George.
Right. Telling Bailey.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Because then we find out that Chief told him he could, or Chief already knows. He told Chief, we just don't see that he told George that he could go early. Like, you don't have to
finish out your day. So wait, like, how fast do you like, this is like 24 hours. He like enlisted, he's gone. He's going like that. That seems really quick.
Well, I think Chief told me he could have the week off to like prepare is what he said.
Okay.
And later on. But, I love that he tells Bailey. I love it. Go ahead.
But I was just going to say before he tells Bailey, I think it's so sweet that all of the original cast is sleeping in Izzy's room after the surgery.
That was my first note.
And, but I also wrote George sleeping in that chair. No, I think it was Meredith. It looks so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, George had his feet up, but she was just, like, neck down. You know, like, on a plane where you're like, oh, this is so uncomfortable.
Right, right.
Yeah, anyway.
Why did I write, I have a headache?
Oh, so because that's what Izzy says. She wakes up and she's like, I have a headache.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So she's alive.
Yeah, and she can speak.
Right, right. Also, I love that. So, like, Owen, also after telling his mom, comes and finds Christina, and he's like, I slept, whatever. And I wrote a note, moms will haunt you, I've decided. Like, if you don't tell your mom something, or you're lying to your mom, or being unfaithful to your mom.
Oh, yeah.
You won't be able to sleep. It will haunt you until your dying day. So, Owen is, like, fucking cured. Not really, yeah, but, like,
but,
kind of.
No, it is true. Like, like, think about the anxiety you have of not telling your mom something and knowing that at some point they are going to find that out.
Right.
And then you're going to have to explain why you haven't told them for so long.
Yeah, it's enough to give you PTSD, like, quite honestly.
It's true. I wrote, and just like that, busboy, a.k.a. George.
Instantly.
Like, right in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, which we'll talk at the end of this, like, what...
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So right away, here he comes.
Yikes! That face is smashed.
Yeah. George leave so fast? Bus dragged him three blocks.
Yeah. It's not good.
George saved a girl. We will never see George again.
Yeah.
These are my notes.
So we're dealing with this bus thing. So then Izzy wakes up from surgery. Everyone's really excited.
Yes.
But then she keeps asking, how did the surgery go? And I wrote drums, like the music.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I wrote that too. I said the drum beats when Izzy repeats herself, like just intense.
And like everyone's like making eye contact and she's like, what's the matter? And they're like, oh, nothing, nothing. And then, oh, it's so creepy though, because then she turns and she stops smiling and she's like, how did the surgery go? It's like, it's very scary.
Yeah, it's, can you imagine? I mean, it's like 50 First Dates.
Yeah, and I love that they reference that couple, that... the one that Bernadette Peters was in. They referenced that patient.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, you do. It was like the first episode of the season. The icicle episode.
But what do they reference?
Oh, Grav tells Derek that it was like, it's like that one patient who was in the car accident who we had to tell that her husband died every like 30 seconds.
Okay, yeah. That was, that was in that one.
Yeah.
Also really weird when bus boy is coming in, bus boy, George, mm-hmm. they're talking about George, like over him. Like, what, O'Malley war? That's when Callie gets all like pissed.
So, everyone's pissed at Owen.
Yeah.
All of the women are like rolling their eyes at Owen. And right. Like, yeah.
Owen and Callie and Bailey are now fighting.
Yeah.
And Callie and Arizona have different opinions. Should we talk about that? Like segue?
Sure.
Okay. So, Callie's like pissed and Arizona replies, oh, that's awesome. Like in her like Arizona voice, which I just love. And it like sends Callie down like a, she's just pissed.
She can't even communicate. She's so pissed.
Right. Right. And I think at first Arizona's like, is it because, I don't know. It's just like Callie thinks it's because it's her ex-husband and like all of these weird things. before I get into about Arizona's brother, did Arizona go to another country later on in the show? Does she like do like
a... Yeah, she does. She goes to like Africa, I think.
Okay, so because at first, before I remembered the brother thing, I was like, I feel like Arizona has always been more privy towards work that is like kind of like going out in the world and being brave and doing things. Like that's... Because, yeah, she does do that. Isn't there, like, drama in their marriage at that time, too?
Because they're not married yet, and they break up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, a little foreshadowing for that. But we learned that Arizona's brother died at war, and all that was returned to them was his body and a flag.
Yeah.
And she says something like, if there had been more doctors there, it might not have happened. And so, like, what George is doing is
brave. It's noble and brave and great. Yeah. So awesome.
I don't remember.
What is Callie's response to that?
She like, Arizona's walking up mad and Callie like grabs her hand and they don't really say anything, but like, it's like, it's kind of like Jake and I holding hands at the grocery store.
Right.
Like
right.
I'm still mad at you, but I love
you. But like, I love you.
And I get it. And I'm sorry. We'll talk through this later.
Yeah. But like, I acknowledge you. I see you.
Yeah. I really like that Arizona used the phrase like, and it's awesome again, like, because sometimes I feel like Arizona is so like flowery and bubbly mm-hmm. and like even her dumb phrase of like, no, it's awesome. Like has meaning behind it.
Yeah.
Earlier too, when Arizona's like, are you upset with me? Kelly goes, no, I'm awesome. Which I think is kind of a dig. Also, I wish I would stop saying every sentence with
also.
So
I say, I say also all the time.
Just in normal.
Like, but like I'll be talking with you on the phone or like Annie or someone and I'll tell a story and then I'll go also, and then I'll tell another story and then I'll say also, listen for it. Cause I've noticed I do it.
I wanted to point out that when after George tells Bailey that he's going to join the army, not the war.
Yeah.
And Bailey tells everyone else, and they're talking about the George intervention, Karev refers to him as 007, which is also big because I feel like they needed to insert that in there one more time so that we remember that's his nickname.
Right.
Again, I was fucking...
You were on it.
Sleuthing the shit out of this because there's even more. Bailey, I forget what part is this? Wait, maybe I jumped ahead on accident. No. What part is this when... when Bailey tells Karev to say something like, I was raised out back with the trash kids. I think it's like about the George going to war. Bailey's like, yeah, Karev, I need you to give him one of those speeches. You know, like, you can't do war. You're not strong enough. Like, I was raised out back with the trash kids. And that's what she says in regards to Karev.
I do not remember that.
It was very fast. And like,
it's so when, she's like, that's like a slam at Karev. That's
I was raised out back with the trash kids.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's my favorite. I also didn't know George tries to spell it out so many times.
Like spell what out?
His like he tries to write.
Oh yeah, because it's like the beginning of the episode. He tries to do it right away with Meredith.
Right, and it doesn't work. And then that girl who like he saved is talking. She's like, he was just an ordinary looking guy, which is another way. Like I feel like you're supposed to like maybe start thinking because it wouldn't be like he was a smoldering sex pot.
Yeah. So what is I want? Her name's Amanda. What is she in? Because I recognize her from something. And it was really bothering me. And I also wrote, she needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I also don't like her, like, holding his hand. And I mean, I guess because I think it's George. Like, I know it's George. If I thought it was any other patient, I'd be like,
oh, this is so nice sweet. That she's, like, staying around. But I'm like, shut up. He's not your Prince Charming.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's been in a lot of shows, like a billion. She's one of those, like, show...
Whores.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She's been in a lot. She was in Shameless at one point. I didn't even know that.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah. Because I'm sure that something will like.
Right. But yeah, so she is like talking about how she didn't even look twice at him mm-hmm. and because she was looking for someone hotter.
Yeah.
And then he used her Prince Charming.
So stupid.
I know. But I just, again, it was like 007 was said. She described him as an ordinary looking guy. Then also Derek described, oh, this isn't really that. But Derek also, it describes Hunt's job as jumping in front of a bus. Like that's like, so there's just so many, like, so many little
like pointing towards it being George.
Right, right.
Really proud of you.
Thank you. I was really upset by it, so I was going to figure it out.
Yeah. So should we like shift back then to like Izzy and like Alex freaking out and writing all these sticky notes?
Yes. Which I didn't realize sticky notes are being used for Izzy there and then also given to Meredith.
Yeah, I guess they're not really sticky notes. They're kind of like, yeah, notes.
So they figure out an easy way to, like, communicate all the things to her. And you can see, like, Karev is doing it and putting in the work, but he's also, like, losing patience.
Yeah.
Quickly, which I don't blame. Like, that would be really hard, especially, like, how emotionally happy she gets every time.
Yeah. And then he's like, we're, like, you're not going to be a fucking vegetable is pretty much what he is saying. And so, like, you're going to have to. And he just, I love that he's, like, pointing to different things. And it's, but it's a lot. He's like, What's O'Malley doing? He joined the army. Like, what's your, like, asking her stats and stuff?
Yeah, he's like quizzing her because he doesn't want her brain to get tired because, and then this is where we get that speech from, I think he's talking to, is he talking to Meredith? He's talking to someone outside the room and he's
Christina.
Like,
Christina.
Yeah, oh yeah. And he's like, I can't do this. Like, I can't have the rest of my life be like taking care of her.
Yeah.
And doing this. And again, I still feel like we don't know details of his mom, but like it's because he's probably feeling like he's already done this.
Right.
He didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. I love that Izzy is like eating lime jello and she's like, they're just disgusting. And then he like points at the thing, like you keep ordering lime jello and saying it's disgusting. And she's like, then why do you keep giving it to me? And he's like, because you get mad at me.
I don't.
And I also know that, like, I realize Izzy has like a brain thing going on, but I feel like that also happens in relationships. Like,
yes, 100%.
Like, 100%. I really want this thing. And then you get it and you're like, this is terrible. And then you're like, yeah, I know. You say this every time you do this.
100%.
Or like you, when you like eat cheese and you're like, I don't feel well. And it's like, well,
don't eat it.
We know that. Like,
this is not new.
Like your partner or your spouse is like,
why do I feel so shitty?
He's like, I've listened to this so many times.
Yes. Okay, how do we feel about Izzy telling Karev, okay, fine, like, say whatever you want, get it all out.
How do Woof. We,
yeah.
Dude. And then the fucking part where she is like, or he's like, did you forget yet? And she's like, nope, not yet. Give it a minute or whatever. And it's just fucking waiting to forget, like, what her husband just said to her, which is terrible, terrible things.
Yeah, that he, like, doesn't know what's better, a pillow or like,
or morphine or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. Fucking killing her pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he immediately is like,
I
didn't mean that. Like, I'm very stressed out right now.
Right.
And he of course wants her to forget, and then she doesn't forget.
Go figure.
The one like really shitty thing he said.
Maybe that's all that needed to happen. They need to shock her brain with something very, very bad.
Some
I
trauma.
Also wonder though, like, what would happen if you did give your partner, like, you're like, all right, I'm gonna forget what you say. Say the
Oh
truth.
My god.
Like, that is
what would you say?
Right, especially Alex knowing that she's gonna forget it.
No, I'm asking you personally what you would say.
No, I would never say that. But like, can
would you say it to me alone without the microphones on?
Maybe. I don't even want to voice it. But I mean, we all have something ugly that mm-hmm. we think about the people we love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we knew that we could say it without, I mean, that's what therapy is.
Yeah.
But like, as a space where like it would never get remembered or heard, but like, unfortunately for Alex,
it gets remembered.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately for him, it's like,
it turns into a good thing.
Well, and it's not like you're a fucking bitch that doesn't care for people and I hate you and I've never loved you. You know,
right.
It's like, it's very conditional to like what's going on. Like, I don't want to have to take care of you.
Right.
Which is like a fair thing in that moment. I'm just saying, like, if she had to remember something, at least it wasn't like the deepest, darkest thing of like, and you fucking suck in bed.
Yeah, like, think of how many people, like,
to me, that is the worst thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you are terrible in the sack, Brie.
Did you forget yet? Nope. Give it a minute.
I don't want to go into when Izzy's memory comes back, because that's when things go, like, start happening.
Right, right, right.
So let's I feel like we should talk about Meredith and Derek. We should switch gears, talk about something happy before we end with something fucking sad.
I started crying the minute that Christina and Meredith started talking.
Yes.
Meredith is like, I don't want to wait another day to be, you know, with Derek. I love him. Shit happens. Life gets fucked up. And so Christina's, I love that Christina asks, like, do you want me to come to City Hall with you? And she's like, nope, it's not going to be a big deal. And then Christina has all of the little things to do, the little...
She, like, shuffles them out of her coat, like a blue pen.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
so she gives her the sticky notes.
Yep.
A pen. So
those were something new, right? Because she just got them.
Yep.
A pen. It's her favorite pen, so some that's something borrowed.
Yep, because she wants it back.
Yep. Something old. What was something old?
I don't remember. I should look this up. I also want to look up their vows in a second.
Oh, it was her grocery list.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then and they were all blue.
Yeah. And after she gives her those, Meredith looks at her and says, I love you, Christina Yang. Which is great because the monologue later is going to be like, did you say it? Did you tell him you loved him?
And then, you held up a fake microphone to you.
It was an intense moment. And then I think it's, then Christina says, I'm going to hug you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think right after that, Christina goes, you have changed.
Yeah.
Because earlier in this episode, she asked Meredith, can you really change from therapy? Like, does it work? Can you overcome these things? And Meredith doesn't really give her an answer.
No.
Like, but this gives Christina the answer she needs that, like, you can change.
Right.
And so...
I wrote, I'm crying, Mare and Christina hugging. They are the real love story.
They are. That's their marriage.
That's
right there.
Their marriage right there.
And then Christina goes into the fan
she
room.
She goes, no, the blowy room.
The blowy room. Yes.
Yeah. And she tells Owen she loves him.
I know. I wrote, this is a very romantic start to Christina and Hunt. Like,
yeah.
I forgot how, like, deep their, like, relationship starts.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I love you. She goes, you traumatized me. You make me love you. She can't breathe. I can't breathe without you.
I know.
That's fucking deep.
Yeah. I know. Why? She always has the most, like...
I know.
Like...
Intense, yeah,
like burn, and I think it works so well because you don't necessarily expect it from her,
right.
And so when she says it and she loves someone so deeply, it's like, oh fuck, she really loves that person,
and she's such an amazing actress.
Oh god, she's so good.
Her delivery of everything is like when she gets sad, she gets that low voice.
Yeah.
Also, though, I thought it was she says like, I can't breathe without you, but like, spoiler, you can't also breathe with him because he chokes you. Like, it's just weird. It's just weird that her thing name is I can't breathe without you when the thing he did to her that broke them up was him choking her. It's just really interesting.
You had a lot of thoughts.
I had an edible. I was feeling things. I'm telling you, I was breaking this down moment by moment.
Or were you breaking down moment by moment?
Honestly, probably that. Because then there's... Why did I write fuck the theme of the month?
I don't know what that means.
It has to do with when Chief was in that moment and Mark... I wrote fuck the theme of the month.
I do not know what that means.
Things might start to fall apart at this point. This is right before I went to bed. While you talk about Derek and Mary, I'm going to get their vows.
Okay.
Hopefully they're in here.
Yeah, let me get back to...
You can set up how we got to the post-it scene.
I'm trying to look at my notes. Oh. So they're in the locker room or whatever, the whatever room that is.
I found it.
And... Meredith is like, we got to get going. We got to get John Doe, like, into surgery. And something with Izzy, I think. I don't know. Just, like, a lot of shit's going on in the hospital. And Derek is like, we can do it another day. And Meredith is like, there is no other time. Because there's always a crisis.
Right.
And there is no other. We only have today or whatever. And fucking Derek just being like, do you got a piece of paper? Let's just fucking do it now.
And she's like, oh, yeah, really sticky notes.
And then I love the question, what do we want to promise to each other? Like, I love that.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be something that's been written. Like, it can be your own thing.
Yeah.
And I really love that. Should I read them?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm not going to read the back and forth. I'll just read the things that they wrote down.
Yeah.
Meredith says that you'll love me even when you hate me.
I love that one.
Such a fucking good one because it's the most true.
Yeah.
And he goes, to love each other even when we hate each other. And then he says, no running ever. Nobody walks out.
I love that one.
No matter what happens. Interesting, too, that, like, spoiler alert, later down the line, he, like, sort of, it's almost like the things, you see these.
They both waver.
Yeah, you see these things come into mm-hmm. play. Meredith, that we'll take care of each other even when we're old and smelly and senile. And if I get Alzheimer's and I forget you, I know. And he interrupts her. I will remind you who I am every day.
I lost it there.
Especially because, like, the Izzy thing is happening where Karev is having to remind Izzy everything and he's not handling it well.
Like, yeah.
To take care when old, senile, smelly. This is forever. And then he has her sign it.
I wrote, God, he dies. Why?
No, it's not fucking fair.
It is not. And then
he was perfect for her.
I love that they make it their own thing because that is Meredith and Derek. They don't need anyone else around.
Nope.
Like she doesn't need to be in a big dress. Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't even need to be in a fucking slip dress.
Right.
She would prefer to be in her scrubs and sign a fucking post-it and he puts it in her locker. And that's, and like, I honestly believe that both of them are like, we're married now.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Because, yeah, they both look at each other and like, we're married.
Yeah. And then.
I feel emotional thinking about that blue post-it because we know that it ends up getting framed above their bed.
Yes.
And then we also know that we see later on in season whatever, after Derek dies, she puts it in a drawer.
She puts it away.
It gets put away. And like, she pulls it out. That's how we see it, right?
Yeah.
Later, like, but she doesn't hang it back up anymore. Mm-mm. Like, it's put in a drawer. And that, like, it's so sad.
Yeah, it is super sad. And I love, too, that he's just like, see, we had plenty of time. Like, and, like, how easy, like, yeah. When you think about, like, getting
what
married
marriage
and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We had plenty of time. We had 5 minutes, and these are the things that we have honestly been working towards.
Yeah.
For a very long time. So it's like, this isn't that hard.
Right.
We're just committing to continue to do this.
It's also, it's really sad that they're saying they have time also because clearly they don't later, mm-hmm. like with him. And it's also really hard to watch these knowing that in the current seasons, we're all like, good job, Mare. You are like getting past Derek and moving on. And we're like happy and applauding that, you know, for her character. But like, it's just, it's really hard to be watching these both at the same time.
Yes. And this is a big deal. We have been waiting
for Meredith. Yeah.
Meredith and Derek to get together. And what a fun way to write this. Because when that, I think I can kind of remember that when they were planning out the wedding, like Izzy was planning this wedding, I think we all kind of felt like, well, that's not Derek and Meredith,
right,
you know?
Right.
And this feels so true to them. I just don't think, and it's so iconic now.
Yeah.
You know, like a sticky note. I just don't think it could ever have been anything else.
I agree. I also think though, like, it's like, you're like, oh, it's television. It's going to be the wedding of the century. I'm sure the promos for last week's episode were like, Derek and Meredith's
yeah.
wedding. It's finally here.
Yeah.
And like, so I think it's even better that they took this like fantastical thing and like, you know, Derek and Meredith, the TV couple of the century, and like, nope, this is who they are.
And it brought it down to like the bare bones of what a relationship is. Like,
yep.
We're not gonna run from each other. We're gonna always love each other, even when we fucking wanna kill each other.
Yep.
And we're gonna take care of each other for the rest of our days.
Why didn't I use these when I wrote my own vows?
Oh my God.
To be fair, I used How I Met Your Mother.
I'm gonna use
quotes,
these.
And those were good. You can use these. That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love that. It's incredible. And then things go downhill.
Yeah. Like, it's so you're already on this, like, emotional roller coaster of, like, oh, God, our couple got together. So you're feeling very happy emotions. And then we're about to take John Doe into surgery.
Well,
right?
Yeah, oh, well, you know, first it's happy because Christina goes up to Alex and is like, Izzy's pissed at you for whatever.
Oh,
like,
right. Yeah.
She knows that that will make Alex realize that. She's told her that.
Yeah.
He's like, how did you know? And then she smiles at him. They run up. Alex is hugging her. And like, and then her hand like falls limp
she
on the bed.
Fucking starts coding.
Ah!
Just as, is it right before that? No, it's right before the Izzy scene is like, Meredith is like, oh, you want to try one more time to write in my hand.
It's right after that.
I have them opposite.
Oh, well, maybe he hugs her and they're happy and then it goes to the George scene.
Yeah.
And then her hand drops.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're right. So, yeah. All I have written is, oh, God. Oh, God.
I have, oh, God. I do, too. Oh, God.
It's like she just got married.
Yeah. Oh, God. oh God. She doesn't even say George. And then she comes running in and she,
cause
she's
George!
Like, she's like 007. Yeah. And then I don't think I would have figured out it was 007. I'd be like 007, 007. I don't know.
Why didn't he write George?
Yeah. Like too hard.
Yeah. But yeah, her saying, oh God, oh God, sits with me. Like how, if you're a Game of Thrones watcher, like Catelyn Stark's scream when Rob died. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those like guttural, like the actress just went for it.
Yeah.
Like there's no holding back. Also they say something, oh, that's when Chief is like, no, O'Malley left in the morning. Like yeah. There's another, you're like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck.
Like where is he? What's going on?
Why did I write rear back in quotes? Yeah. Why did I write that?
I don't know.
Does Alex say that? We're back, maybe, to Izzy? I don't know.
I have...
Because then in quotes I have, you're not going anywhere, O'Malley. Which
I yeah, like Owen, I think, is like, yeah. We got you. Yeah. We got you. And they're like pushing him along and they're screaming. And then Izzy drops an arm.
Chief is saying, screw the DNR.
Yeah, like paging. Like shit is getting... And then I wrote, this song is so good. It's, yeah. Greg Laswell, I'm pretty sure. And it's like, shit is... Shit is happening too fast at this last
Greg end Laswell, scene. Off I go.
Yep.
Off I... How's it going?
Off I go.
Yeah. I'm getting emotional. This is the saddest episode to me of all time.
Yes, Chief. Screw the DNR.
So much. Then the monologue starts. Did you say it? You know, whatever. I said,
then she's fucking walking to that goddamn elevator with that bouncy tail.
Which, like, props to this show for utilizing that scene, which happened in season 2.
Yeah.
Like, so many times. Mm-hmm. And, like, you just know when she's in that outfit. Like, mm-hmm. Fuck.
And then
I wrote, this should be playing while we talk
about it. There he is. And the elevator door is open and it's fucking George.
Yeah.
And he looks great in his war uniform.
He looks so good.
His head's shaved. He like, and he looks so happy.
I know.
To see Izzy.
Well, yeah, they both. So let's talk about their faces because okay. This is like a huge part of it. So the door's open. Izzy looks at George and yeah, they're both smart. Like they're like, oh, hi. And then like they both have like a moment of like, what? I don't know if it's why are you here? Or if it's a realization that, like, they're done. Like,
or, like, why are we here?
Right.
Yeah.
It's so...
Not, like, why are you here, but, like, what is going on?
I remember rewatching the scene over and over trying... Because I wanted to know who's dying.
Yeah. And I think it's very obvious that George is dying and Izzy is living.
You think so?
Because she...
Do you think because she's on the elevator?
Well, I also think... Yeah, like, he's welcoming her.
Right.
I feel like. And also, I think that, like... Her face...
His surgery is a lot rougher.
Her face changes. Like, she's very exciting or excited. And then it changes to, like, oh, like, something energetically is shifting. Like, I'm going back somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if I want to because I know that you're here and I feel sad about that. But, like, I gotta go back in the elevator.
I think a part of me, too, again, with the, like, always, like, shipping... I was gonna mix George and Izzy and call it Jizzy. That won't work.
Nope.
No. Jizabel. Oh no, I want to be...
I almost said, I was like, how about Jizzy?
So, I think like because there's so much of me that always
is George.
Yeah, always loved that. That in this moment too, I think there are many ways to interpret it, but there's a part of me that interprets it as like they are meant to be together as more than friends because she's... Just listen to me.
I'm listening.
Or like if they had both died, their afterlife world would have been together because she's in the outfit that she was going to see Denny in, like when she was happiest and like in love.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like there's a reason they put her in that outfit and in that scene and not like...
Well, so I wrote that I think it's really powerful that... So she's in that outfit and I said, I love that it's George that meets her and it's not Denny. So like Denny's not the one who meets her at the elevator.
But he was supposed to. In that article, did you read that?
No, I didn't read that part.
Should we get into that now?
Sure.
So,
but okay. My last note is, God damn, just in huge letters.
It's rough. I'm trying to find, okay. So when I was last night high and deep diving the internet, yeah, reading articles published in 2009, trying to make sense of this, my first reason for doing so was I was wondering if it really is George in all of that prosthetic, and mm-hmm, it is.
Okay, yeah.
It was him, yeah. Okay, this is from an article posted on EW July 17th, 2009.
Just crazy.
Yeah, this shit lives on the internet forever. Okay, I'm going to read kind of
think about that, kids, before you post something to the internet.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the one where George appears poised to escort Izzy to heaven via elevator was originally filmed with Jeffrey Dean Morgan's deceased Denny waiting for Katherine Heigl's cancer-stricken MD. I don't know why it says that. But an 11th hour epiphany by series creator Shonda Rhimes resulted in Denny getting the shaft. Something didn't feel right, Rhimes recalls. And then it hit me. My God, it's George. When the elevator opens, it should be George we see. There was just one problem. Actually, there were two problems. Thinking he was done for the season, T.R. Knight went ahead and shaved his head. As Rhimes explains, director Rob Korn calls me up and goes, what do we do? Considering George enlisted in the army right before getting mowed down by that bus, the solution came to Rhimes in an instant. I said, put him in a military uniform. It wasn't a big, amazing plan I had. The happy accident packed an emotional punch for viewers, Knight included. It was brilliant of Shauna to put George in the dress blues, said the actor, who last month confirmed that he would not be returning to Grey's next fall. It was such a powerful image. The whole thing is even more remarkable when you consider that Heigl was in Atlanta shooting a film and not present for the reshoot. To ensure their expressions were in sync, Knight picked Heigl's brain over the phone before stepping in front of the camera. I was like, what did you do in that scene? He says with a laugh, it's nice when you've worked with someone for 5 years. There's shorthand. Heigl still had some concerns about whether the switcheroo could be pulled off. Katie called me and was like, are my expressions going to match his? Is it going to work? Rhimes recounts. And I was like, I promise you it's going to be perfect.
That is crazy that right? They didn't shoot that together.
At the same time, yeah.
I wonder what, I wish there was a way we could see Denny's expressions.
I know.
Like, I bet because it was you think similar. They were like excited to see each other, but then she realized that means I'm dead.
Probably. So,
and that's probably why she makes that face of like, oh shit. But then now we're thinking it's like, oh, I'm going back.
Right. Do you think that it would have been more powerful with Denny being the one to greet her?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like Well, I mean, my last note was I love that, and I didn't even know this until you just said this right now, but I said I love that it was George that meets her instead of Denny. I didn't know it was supposed to be Denny.
Yeah, but that's true because it means it's like a joyful versus like angel of death, even though it's not joyful.
Yeah, because like what, like, I mean, and what Izzy had said.
Yeah.
Like the last episode about, or like a couple episodes ago or whatever, last week, about how like, she associates Denny with death and how, Marge.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been right. It's not her love of her life anymore.
Well, that's the part. It's like, I don't think it would have been as powerful. I think it would have been really sad. Well, and also they weren't planning on killing off Izzy, right? Ever.
No,
in this season.
No.
So I don't think it really makes sense then to see Denny.
Right, because right. Except that she doesn't end up it would be more of a cliffhanger.
Right.
So the whole plan originally, why they ended up having to put George in, is also because originally Shonda Rhimes wanted I'll just read this next article. This one was published July 27th, so 10 days after the last one.
Mm-hmm.
It says, it's now common knowledge that T.R. Knight declined Grey's Anatomy boss Shonda Rhimes' request to briefly return in season 6 to give his terminal George some closure. I kind of get it, the series creator said. He'd emotionally walked away. Fans, however, may not be quite as chill when they hear the killer story she had planned for him. Blah, blah, blah. In the fall season's premiere, George will succumb to the injuries he sustained after getting mowed down by that bus. But that wasn't supposed to be the last we saw of him. Rhyme said the episode was going to flash back to the hours during which George was missing, from when he left the hospital to when he returned later as disfigured John Doe. I wanted to see his last day alive really badly. What I thought was interesting was the idea of, we now know it's the last day of someone's life, so we're looking at it differently than we would have any other time. Viewers would have also seen firsthand how George's split-second decision to save that girl's life cost him his own. I wanted to see the moment he left in front of the bus. I wanted to bookend the episode so that the first time you see him leap in front of the bus, it's very scary. But the second time you see it, he's a hero. I thought it would have been a beautiful episode. We might have learned something new about George. Although disappointed she wasn't able to tell it, Rhymes insists she's content with how his five-year arc concluded. We really got to see him grow up. It really does feel like we watched a full evolution of a character, and I feel good about that. And then the writer here said, still, I would have loved to have seen those flashbacks. What about you? Do you wish Knight had stuck around a little longer, or do you agree with him that the final shot of his character standing in the elevator was the best way to leave?
I think the final shot. I think, like he says, it was such a powerful image of him.
Yeah.
And, like, I love the idea that he, like, got to be who he wanted to be in his afterlife.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like, in his army uniform. Right, that was where he was going. That's what he wanted to do. We talked about how, like, he never fit in with his family and stuff. So maybe he would have fit in with his, like...
his chosen family, as they called it. Yeah.
And so I think that was a really powerful image. And I don't think I would have really liked to have seen, like, him on his day of, like, talking to this... because also the actress really annoys me that...
Right.
Yeah.
And would have made it a little bit more about her. Like, I like the idea of the episode, how she talked about how, like, the first time you see him jump, it's, like, shocking. But later on, as you think about it, it's, like, you think of him as this, like, hero, which is not who we think of as George. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of giving him some sort of closure in that sense. But I think that, like, a lot of people aren't... George isn't their favorite. But I feel like... the people who like George already sort of think of him, like, I don't need another episode dedicated to making me like George more.
Right.
Like, the 5 years have been put in, what's one more episode going to add to his character?
Right.
So I do agree with you, like, as much as I would have loved to, like, have final. And yeah. It was very shocking, because I'm pretty sure you don't really see his face. You don't see I don't remember how it starts in season 6, but, like, he's dead. He, like, dies.
Well, I kind of remember. It's like, they're like, did anyone confirm that it's actually him? And then everyone, like, kind of questions whether or not it's him. And then
where they last saw him and what.
Yeah. Did. Like, they're kind of all like, shit, do we actually know
it's
him?
But does he die in surgery?
Yeah, he dies.
Okay.
And then they find out.
Who's operating? So Hunt is operating on him.
Is Derek there? I think Derek's there.
Derek's not with Izzy?
No, it's Chief and Bailey with Izzy.
You're right. It's also, really interesting to me when that moment, Meredith is like, it's George, and then Izzy's coding, how they split up. Like, because they all can't be with one person.
With one person.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, and I really think the way, and I know I talk about this, and I'm being very, whatever, but this episode, like, shook me to my core the first time I saw it.
Well, yeah.
I made my profile picture. I have never made my profile picture another fictional character in all of time.
Yeah, how do you feel that, like, well, it was funny because we were texting about it the other night when we had to watch them. And you were like, I don't know if I'm ready to watch this. And I was like, well, like, really, you have no choice. Pretty much, like, you got to watch it. And you were like, because this is probably the last time I'm going to watch it. And do you really feel?
I mean, I won't be watching seasons 1 through 5 anytime soon.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, we beat them.
Yeah, so, like...
is the phrase like a dead horse?
Yeah, so you probably won't watch them. And I think I texted you back, you'll watch them when you make your children watch these.
Yeah, which is true. And I also feel like I just remember being, I'm trying to find when I made that my profile picture to see if it was in the fall or if it was in the spring or the fall.
Or the spring or the fall.
Because that will be telling if I knew. I think it was when I saw this episode. So maybe at that point,
I think you had to have known because you probably looked it up at that point too and knew that he was leaving this.
Think he dies.
Well, and I'm wondering, did we think when Izzy was in, I don't think I thought about things this intensely, but like, but do you think like when you see Izzy in that dress that we thought we were going to see Denny? Like, that's what it's trying to make you do.
Yeah.
And that's why they put her in that dress.
You're right. That's why she's in that dress. That's
because it was originally supposed
to. It was with Denny.
Yeah.
I love that film is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, May 14th. So it was that episode. It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't afterwards.
I wonder.
I think there's just also when you think of what
what Denny was wearing.
I know.
Black or white?
Probably white.
White, yeah.
Him as a patient is going through. Is like, you can't. He got hit by a bus and was dragged 3. Like, when they were naming all of the things that were wrong with him, it was, like, a shitload of things.
But he was still, like, conscious enough to be like, yo, I'm George.
I know. I think part of me... I know that's a sad... It's kind of like when Derek, like, your brain is still working, but the rest of you is not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at my photo I chose.
Oh my God.
The best is the comments. Someone goes, "That's not you, silly." My friend Emily goes, "Bless his 007 soul." Someone else goes, "Yeah, that was sad." And I just did another sad face. That was 5 years ago. But yeah, I posted this in 2009.
Oh. 2009! 10 years ago. Almost 10 years to the day. Or to the month.
Yeah.
Wow. 10-year anniversary.
This is like our first big character death.
Yeah, because...
We haven't had any main characters die yet. Have we? No.
No, we've had people leave the show.
Like Han left. Preston Addison left. Addison left.
But no
one's died. This is the first death.
And then they just start killing them. They start dropping like flies. Yep. They're like, "Oh, we did one. It went over well. Great. We're going to kill everyone else."
Yeah. George was the first one. Really, too, when you watch the show from the beginning, I would have thought George would have been a regular forever. Like,
yeah, he just like doing his shit, whatever.
Yeah, he's not like an asshole like Karev can be sometimes.
Yeah.
It very much still surprises me that Karev is still on the show.
I know. And he's just like chill as fuck.
And he's cheap.
Oh, yeah. So I feel like we have really no other choice but to give the MVP to George.
100%.
Yeah, like I would feel a little sad for George if he didn't get MVP.
I will fight to the death for George to get MVP.
I mean, I don't even think we have to.
And George didn't get his final day in the real show, but we read it and we gave it to him. He saved his final act in life was saving someone from a bus.
Which is always what George wanted to do with his life. Save someone from a bus.
I just wish he... I mean, I'm glad... I guess I'm glad that he was alone because then he didn't leave anyone.
Yeah.
Like, but, like...
I think we should open up the discussion in the Facebook group about, like, what your initial, response was to this episode and if you thought George actually died.
Yeah.
And what you remember about it. And then, like...
And also, if you think it would have been more powerful to have Denny.
Right.
Or George.
Yeah. I want to know what people think.
I feel very, like when I found those articles, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was just intense. So anyways, goodbye, George.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything to him?
I'm just really sad. Honestly, as I said, like, he's not the dreamiest. He's not the most attractive. He really struggled to find his way, made some dumb decisions. But I think out of all the people, like, I still feel this like visceral, like I would have been best friends with him or wanted to date him.
Yeah. So,
I'm just sad. Goodbye, George. I'm really
did
sad.
Did you ever know that you're my
no,
hero.
I just want to hear the song that played when they were the Off I Go.
Off I Go.
I'm going to listen to that on the car ride home and just
you're going to sob. Yeah.
I'm really not okay. I want to go back in my time hop and see if I also had a status that was like.
Oh, I'm sure you did. That was like, I can't believe George is dead. And
actually,
I was probably like.
I should look on my live journal after this and see. Oh. I bet I wrote about it there. So. Listeners, we did it.
Well, no, we didn't.
Why?
We have to do notes and trivia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot. I feel like I gave a lot of them away. Okay. Wow, there's a lot. The episode's title originated from Now or Never by 3 Days Grace.
Wait, but you have to do episode 23 also. Notes and trivia. Or do you want me to do that one?
Doesn't matter. You can do it.
Okay.
There's a lot for that one, too.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, so it's always like way at the bottom. Here we go. Notes and trivia. This episode title originated from the song Here's to Future Days, originally sung by Thompson Twins. This episode scored 16.58 million viewers. That's a lot more than last week. Last week was like 15 point
yeah, it's a
something.
Million more.
Yeah. Although aired together with Now or Never. Okay, so you're right. Shonda Rhimes has commented that this episode was not meant to be a two-part finale.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Including his two appearances on Private Practice, this episode marks the 100th appearance of James Pickens Jr. as Richard Whipper. Oh, weird. So he... All the interns were in 100 episodes last episode.
He must have
but
not
he,
been in one.
Yeah. Same with Bailey.
Like
this
the
is
first,
her 100th
maybe
appearance.
Like the first one? No, they were all.
No, they were all in the first one. So that's interesting. Sometimes this episode is incorrectly called Here's to the Future. Cool. In this episode, Christina mentions getting hit by a car. This could be foreshadowing what happens to George in the next episode. Yes, you did. This is the last episode to feature Denny. And there is no gray matter blog post for this episode.
Okay, there's a... Listeners, don't turn the podcast off yet. There's a really good notes and trivia in this one that I forgot to talk about.
Okay.
I think that this is what I read, and then it started my deep dive. So some of this is repeating. So I might not read the big, long thing that because we just discussed it. But 3 Days Grace, the song Now or Never, 17.12 million viewers. The actor that played John Doe was
17?
Yeah, so a million more.
Yeah.
The actor that played John Doe was, in fact, T.R. Knight. According to Shonda Rhimes, George O'Malley's low amount of screen time for most of the season leads up to this episode where the audience would not notice that George had disappeared for the duration of the episode. This is contradicted with the fact that George was written out of the show because T.R. Knight asked to leave due to his low amount of screen time. Although aired with Here's to Future Days, it was not supposed to be a two-part finale. According to Michael Osiello, I don't know who that is, the final scene was originally shot with Denny meeting Izzy. However, Shonda Rhimes changed it last minute. In the final scene, George is seen in an army uniform of an army medic. As a doctor, he would be wearing an officer's uniform and not that of an enlisted man. However, this error could easily be explained because the final scene took place in Izzy's dying dream. Here we go. Here's the good one. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The post-it was actually written by Patrick Dempsey as they were filming the scene. Normally a prop is ready before it's actually used in filming. Oh, wait. I read that the first time as he wrote, like the vows, like they were not scripted. Okay.
You were a little high.
Gave him way too much credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he did handwrite it. So whatever we see, I bet they used that.
Yeah. They probably kept it.
Yeah,
right?
I imagine
used it as
so.
A prop.
Off I Go, the song featured at the end, was written specifically for this episode.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love Greg Glasswell so much.
When Mark is talking to Alexio at different houses that are hung on the X-ray viewer, there's a sheet of paper above the viewer. It reads, test number one, name a rap artist. Name an artist in your kids. The sentence is unfinished. The prop is used to decorate the walls of the room in much the same way various posters do. It was probably written in reference to an ad series that challenged parents to name five rap artists, name five of your children's teachers. I don't know what that means. That was a terrible note to end it on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Derek, I bet you the one that they used, Derek handwrote it to begin with.
Oh.
I know.
You thought he wrote the vows.
Whatever.
They're like, Derek or Patrick, just improvise. Just say whatever you want. We're going to go with it.
Sorry I made you listen to all of our listeners when there's nothing there. Season 5, Wrapped.
Wrapped it the fuck up.
Yeah.
We have to rate it.
Okay, it's a 10.
Yeah, okay, it's a 10.
This is to me my bomb episode.
This is your bomb episode.
Yeah. I think I've said that before, but this is real. I mean, like, this is the only one I made a profile picture of.
I'm going to also give it a 10.
Wow.
So that's two in a row.
Yeah, this was a great. This
like
if I were to go back and watch Grey's, like these three would be a good.
Oh, right in a row.
Contestant.
I felt a lot of feelings,
yeah.
And we watched them all. Marge might puke on your back.
God damn it! What the fuck! Oh my god, cats are so scary.
They are really scary. So
listeners, if you're not scared, you're not paying attention.
Oh.
Ready
Bailey.
For season 6.
So
we're going to go take a break, though. We did not tell you this yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to... We have a couple more episodes for you, some little fun things for you to hear, and then we're going to take a short break before we get started with season 6.
Yep.
Because Abby and I have to go on our honeymoon together.
Yeah. So we wrote our post-it. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Listeners, we love you so much. Thank you for listening all the way through season 5.
Thank you so
we
much.
We are a third of the way there.
And thank you for supporting the podcast, everyone who is a patron, and everyone who listens. We love you very much.
You. We don't.
And we're not walking out.
No, and we're not calling time of death either because our listeners are going to do that for us. So.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
Yep. We love you guys. Bye.
This is Nicole from Seattle, and the time of death is 1335. See.